Radiotopia.
Welcome to the Kitchen Sisters present.
From PRX.
We're the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson
and Nikki Silva.
Hi, I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life in prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts. The Kitchen Sisters Present is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
他问就是你们可不可以各自介绍一下就是你们的名字，然后你们从哪里来的，然后还有你们这个作品的名字。
我叫宋朝，我来自中国山东。
My name is 宋朝。And I'm from Shandong province. The name of my work is called Coal Miners.
拍矿工是因为我从小
I grew up in the coal mine that I photographed. I became a coal miner there in 1996 when I was 18. The coal miners that I photographed are all my fellow workers on that mine.
I'm Susan Mycelis. I'm a photographer. We're at the pier for Coal and Ice, which is a three-week multimedia point of gathering for an ongoing conversation about climate change.
Coal and Ice, a global exhibition of photographs, videos, and immersive imagery that began in a gallery in Beijing in 2007 with the unprecedented showing of photographs of Chinese coal miners taken by Chinese photographers. For over a decade, the exhibit has traveled the world, evolving and expanding as the climate crisis unfolds. First in Beijing, then Delhi, Paris, Shanghai, San Francisco, and now as a vibrant six-week festival of climate-related events, March 15th through April 2022, in Washington, D.C., at the Kennedy Center, as part of its 50th anniversary celebration, where the work of some 50 renowned documentary photographers and video artists will be featured, along with installations, panels, music, conversations, cash awards to young artists weaving climate into their work, and more. When Coal and Ice came to San Francisco a few years back, we traveled through the exhibit with our microphone capturing sounds and music and interviewing photographers from around the world. We hope these archival recordings will give you a feel for the new Coal and Ice exhibition, which begins now in our nation's capital. Today, the Kitchen Sisters present Coal and Ice.
I was teaching in the Berkeley Journalism School, Orville Schell being dean at that time, reading about the gray smog skies over Beijing. Orville, fluent in Chinese, and he as a writer, I as a photographer, said, why don't we go and see what's happening in China?
For someone like me who was interested in China, it was very obvious, too, that being the largest carbon emitter and the U.S. being the second largest, that was a little duet that had to learn how to play together, or we were not going to solve this challenge of all challenges. I'm Orville Schell. I run the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society in New York City. Susan Micellus and I thought we didn't seem to be getting at the public, the world, through politics, through writing, through whatever was going on. But we thought maybe if we could bait the hook a little through graphic images, that it would be a different way to make people see what was going on.
Within a short time that we landed, it was obvious to me that I was not going to visualize the enormity of the kind of coal production at that time to generate the energy to serve the world's consumer population and desires. It wasn't going to be me. I felt it really should be the Chinese eyes looking at themselves if they had done that documentation.
My name is Geng Yunsheng. I'm from the city of Kunming of Yunnan province, which is located in the southwest of China. And the name of my work is called The Coal Miners in Wumeng. I met the coal miners in 1994 when I was taking two of my friends from Taiwan to just give them a tour about where I live. We saw some coal miners crawling out from the coal mines, naked up top, only have pants on them, and having more than 50 kilograms coals on their back. I'm from city. I have never seen people in such poverty and living in such hard life. 7 years later, when I got more deeply into photography, I decided to go back to find them and started to photograph their life.
None of them had probably ever met a Western photographer or maybe even a Westerner at that point in time. You have to imagine, 2006 was pretty early. The art world was starting to become focused on China, but not on documentary photographers. And so much of this work had been done in the 10 or 20 years before we arrived, but was not that well known. Maybe there was a picture here or there published that led me to kind of ask about a name and follow the name to the village where we could meet and look at some kind of material that represented the ideas that they were working on. Sometimes one photographer would know another.
I met Susan Micellus in a conference with a bunch of photography professionals, and she saw my work. She told me that she was planning an exhibition on environment, and she said my work could be included. After the event, she summoned several photographers who have works about coal mining to Beijing.
The concept of coal and ice evolved from there, intercepting really with the work that David Brashears did when we saw the Himalayas.
I'm on top of the world. We made it. I'm on the summit of Mount Everest, 29,028 feet. I can see everywhere. It's just so beautiful.
I'm David Brashears. I've been a mountaineer and filmmaker and photographer in the Himalayan region, Pakistan, Nepal, India, Tibet, since I was 23 years old. For me, this project began in October of 2007. I was asked by the PBS series Frontline to go and find an example of a melting glacier in an iconic place. And I thought, what could be more iconic than Mount Everest?
We began to integrate the eyes of Westerners from a long time back. Then we really began to sense the arch and the linkage of coal production and ice that was global and was historical.
My entire focus has been showing the recession and changes in the glaciers and the landscapes in the greater Himalayan range.
David Brashears assembled, he collected images of glaciers in the Himalayas that were made at the beginning of the 20th century. And he took those images back to the Himalayas and found the exact locations where they were made. With the same lenses, he made new images. And in this projection, we superimposed one image over the other. I'm Jeroen de Vries, exhibition designer and curator. That projection illustrates how the glaciers have melted in 100 years and more.
The Himalayas, which stretch from Burma all through China, across India, Pakistan, to Afghanistan, or the frozen water tower, for every major river system in Asia. The Yellow River in the North China Plain, the Yangtze River, the Mekong, the Salween, the Irrawaddy, the Brahmaputra, the Ganges, the Indus, Amu Darya. I mean, all of these great river systems around which civilizations have grown over the centuries. They're all affected because the glaciers in the greater Himalaya are the frozen water tower for Asia. So when they alter their behavior, the rivers get impacted and everything downstream gets impacted. Suddenly, we realize that's the plumbing system of the entire Asia subcontinent and China.
How can this ever be repaired? In any number of lifetimes? I'm Michael Tolson Thomas. I'm a musician. We are in the Coal and Ice exhibition space here in San Francisco, where this very week the San Francisco Symphony and I will be doing a series of concerts, which are also inspired by aspects of nature, observations on nature, including Copland's Appalachian Spring, which was in the 1940s, which was very strong piece actually connected with the destruction that the war was creating. We also have the incredible Chinese pianist Yu Jiawan playing Ravel's Left Hand Concerto, which is a kind of elegiac piece. And then Abigail Washburn is singing a couple of songs about mining.
I come from the mountains, Kentucky's my home, where the wild deer and black bear so lately did roam.
It all adds up to some kind of evening of Americans and Chinese and concerned citizens and about the earth and culture and music, and all these things that matter so much to us.
There runs a clear stream, and the mountain comes a sliding so awful and grand, and the flooding black waters rise over my land. Set scenes of destruction on every head. Black waters run down through my land.
I've been working on this project called Drowning World for the last 11 years. The central spine of the project is a series I call Submerged Portraits. It's a series of people within their flooded homes or communities. There's also a video piece, which is a full-screen immersive experience, and it's a version of a film I've made called The Water Chapters, which has been divided up so you are surrounded by floods from four different countries at any one time. My name is Gideon Mendel. I'm a photographer, filmmaker, and artist. I came of age as a photographer in the 1980s, working in South Africa in the final years of apartheid. What I wanted to do was challenge the conventional narrative of photojournalism in these kinds of disaster situations. Often you see people in the third world, black or brown people, perhaps helped by international organizations, but it's quite a colonial narrative, and for me it's important that the series encompasses many different cultures and many different classes, 13 different countries. On the one extreme, some of the poorest people in the world living in tin shacks in villages in Bangladesh, and I photographed some of the richest people in the world living in multi-million dollar houses in Houston, Texas. Although there's all these massive differences, the water is a kind of unifying factor. Everything is kind of suspended. You're inside homes where there shouldn't be water, and there's water, so you have reflections. The color and the light is often quite astonishing. this video piece gives you a strong sense of that otherworldly flood experience. The landscape of flooding.
Every day, there's a different conversation, whether it's between scientists or investors, entrepreneurs, artists, musicians, people contributing different ways of thinking about what we can do collectively.
Some people say the growing of food, the transportation of food, the decisions people make about food, the waste, contribute more than 45% to climate change. I'm Alice Waters, the owner of Chez Penny's restaurant in Berkeley, California, and the founder of the Edible Schoolyard Project. We are here at Fort Mason in San Francisco for Coal and Ice. We have been asked to do a meal for the governor of California and 600 of his best friends from around the world for a conference on climate change and make it a dinner that really directly answers the questions about climate change and food. I wanted to use some ingredients that are kind of considered weeds that are drought resistant, like purslane. I knew that I wanted to make a meal with only vegetables and not meat and not fish. The very best way to edibly educate around the world is to have them fall in love with what they're eating. Eat with intention. Support those people who are taking care of the land. This could have an enormous effect on climate change.
Chairman Mao used to say, the world is in great disorder, excellent situation. I don't agree with the excellent situation part, but it is in great disorder. We've been all around the world, from Delhi to Paris to Shanghai, Beijing, San Francisco. But if you want to get the needle right into the arm of the power structure of the world, you want to be in Washington. The Kennedy Center is going to have its biggest event ever, its 50th anniversary celebration. So we'll be there for 6 weeks in this enormous tent, right on the Potomac, right in the center of the center of the center. Yo-Yo Ma was going around the world playing the six Bach cello suites, and one night at an encore, he played Bach's chorale, Wacht auf, which means wake up. He just looked out at the crowd and he said, wake up. And I think that's really what we need to do on climate change, is wake up.
Coal and Ice was produced by the Kitchen Sisters, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, and Evan Jacoby, in collaboration with Brandy Howell and Nathan Dalton, mixed by Jim McKee. The Kitchen Sisters Present is part of Radiotopia, a network of independent, listener-supported, story-driven podcasts from PRX. Special thanks to Susan Mizellis, Orville Schell, Song Chow, Wu Yi, David Brashears, Jeroen de Vries, Michael Tilson Thomas, Joshua Robeson, and Gideon Mendel. The music in this story comes from Laurie Anderson, Moondog, Aaron Copeland, Matthew Doherty, Hazel and Alice, Abigail Washburn, Stephen Scott and the Boat Piano Ensemble, Floating Points with Farrell Sanders and the London Symphony Orchestra, Randy Tom, and the music you're listening to, Yo-Yo Ma playing the Bach Cello Suite No. 1 in G Major, recorded live on a rooftop for his Culture Connects Us project. There's a lot to take in at Coal and Ice. We hope you'll have a chance to see the exhibition online or in D.C. In the immortal words of Yo-Yo Ma, it is time to wake up.